All right, let's open our Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Many of you may know, and I was the last one to find out, I don't know, but Jackie Simpson had a hysterectomy today. She's in the hospital this evening, obviously dealing with pain, and so we want to remember her in prayer this evening. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read the first 9 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We'll end our reading there.
Everybody find the old school hymnal. All the songs will be from this book, songbook tonight. Turn to 152. 152, God's Love. God's love has meant so much to me. I want to praise His holy name. His grace and truth have set me free. This blessed truth I would proclaim. He is my hope, my strength and guide. His Spirit does my soul inspire. Christ is the Savior I desire. This Savior is our living bread, our wisdom and our righteousness. We eat His flesh, we drink His blood. He is the source of all our bliss. He feeds my soul on things above, and warms me with His sacred fire. I want to feel His grace and love. Christ is the portion I desire. He is my Son to give me. Spirit shall be blessed. His grace will bring supreme delight and give to me eternal rest. Without His mercies I would fall. So for His way I should inquire. I find in Him my all in all. Christ is the treasure I desire. Let's turn over to 325. 325.
Turn for our scripture reading to Romans chapter 11. Romans, the 11th chapter. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. We'll end our reading there. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how thankful we are that out of your goodness to your people, you've given us another opportunity to meet together and to worship your matchless name. To sing your praises, to have your word open to us, to have your gospel preached. Father, how thankful we are. And Father, I beg of thee that you would make this hour a true hour of worship. That you would enable us to set aside the cares and the thoughts of this life, whether they be pleasant or unpleasant. And for this hour, let us worship in spirit and in truth. Let us hear of Christ our Savior. Cause our hearts to be thrilled in His mercy, in His grace, in His sufficiency. What a Savior we have. Father, enable our brother Clay to preach Christ boldly and clearly and simply. And give us believing hearts to believe the things of Christ that You'd have us here this evening. Father, how we thank You for a place that we can come and worship together in peace and in unity without fear of reprisal. We thank You for a place that You've raised up and preserved and protected. Father, I pray that You cause us to be faithful to this ministry that You've given us to preach the gospel to our generation, to our town. And Father, bless the word as it's preached here. Continue to bless it, to cause it to go forth in power. Preserve and protect this place as a place where sinners can come and hear of the Savior, where Your sheep can come and be fed in the green pastures of Your word and be encouraged and comforted and strengthened. Father, we thank You for bringing Brother Clay our way. We thank You for the traveling mercies that You've given him. And as we said before, Father, we pray Your richest blessing be upon him as he preaches tonight and as he travels to Danville and Lexington and back home. Father, bless him in a special way. Bless that work there in New Jersey and Your people there. For Your great name's sake, Father, we pray. Father, for those who are hurting and sick and in great times of trouble and trial, we pray for them. We pray for Jackie as she's going through this difficult time tonight. And Father, others that need You especially, we pray You'd touch their bodies, that You'd comfort their hearts. We pray for Carter at this time, for all these years he's stood for the gospel. And in this difficult time, Father, be with him, strengthen him, and watch over him, we pray. For all Your people, Father, provide a way out when it could be Thy will, we pray. And all these things we ask in that great name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for His glory we pray and give thanks. Amen.
In the beloved, accepted at my risen, ascended and seated on high, saved from all sin through His infinite grace, with the redeemed ones accorded marvelous grace, calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in the beloved, accepted safe my retreat. In the beloved, accounted complete. Who can condemn me? In Him I am free. Savior, marvelous
I'm just very delighted to have Pastor Clay Curtis here with us this evening. Clay's pastor of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Ewing, New Jersey. And he's been here many times before. This is a good year. We've had him here twice this year. So it's been a good year. And I'm very thankful he's here. Not to mention Melinda and Emma and Will. We're glad you're all here too. So Clay, you come and preach for us the message God's given you.
All right, brethren, let's go back there to Romans chapter 11. It is good to be with you again. It's always a delight to be here. Glad to be back with you. I'm not going to read the passage again. That passage Brother Frank read is my text. But I will start here at verse 1. Paul said, "I say then, hath God cast away His people?" And he answers with an emphatic, "God forbid. God forbid." The religious world often will label us and tell us what we are, according to them. They'll give you a label, tell you what you're preaching. And recently I had somebody, I preached through Romans 11, and somebody heard some of the messages, and they told me I was preaching replacement theology. And what they meant by that is that I was preaching that God's church, God's spiritual Israel, replaced physical, political Israel. Well, that's not what we preach at all. It's not what we preach at all. We don't preach that God's church replaced the nation Israel. Fact is, the scripture declares that before the world was made, before God ever made that nation Israel, God chose His people from among Jew and Gentile in Christ, and that's God's church. That's God's spiritual Israel. God's Israel, His holy nation, as the scriptures call it, existed before this world was ever made. Before God ever formed the first grain of sand, He had already made His Israel. He made His church, His people, in Christ Jesus, our King. I think of how when Moses was called up into the mountain and God told Moses when he was building the tabernacle, he said, "Now you build everything after the pattern that was shown you in the mount." And when God formed that political nation Israel and He put David on that throne in that majestic reign that King David had, and the best time Israel ever had with David on the throne, God made that after the pattern of God's spiritual Israel with King Jesus on the throne. So before that nation was ever made, God's Israel existed. When that political nation was destroyed in 70 AD, God's Israel still existed. And when this whole world has been burned up and everything therein, God's Israel will still exist. Because God has saved us with an eternal redemption in Christ our Lord. Now, besides what people may label us and what they may say about us, if there's any believer who ever has any doubts or any troubles wherein you think God might cast you away, I want you to be comforted. I want you to know and be assured God never, never casts away His people. He never casts away His people. He never casts away His people who He foreordained to eternal life in Jesus Christ our righteousness. That's what I want you to get from the message tonight. Now, first of all, God never casts away His people. But now, let's answer this question. Who are His people? Who are His people? Paul says in verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. There's the qualifier. That's the qualifier right there. There's how we know who God's people are. They're his people who he foreknew. His people who he foreordained to eternal life. They're his people who he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look back at Romans 8, the very familiar verse. Romans 8, very familiar passage. This is God's purpose right here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That tells you that this word foreknow does not mean God looked down through time and he knew that some would believe and so he chose them. Because it says those he foreknew, he predestinated them to believe. He predestinated them to be conformed to Christ. He wouldn't have done that if he foresaw they were going to believe. But those he foreknew, he foreordained them and he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, in our text, Paul said, has God cast away his people? He said, God forbid. He said, I'm an Israelite. I'm an Israelite. Well, there was a lot of Israelites, according to the flesh. There was a lot of Israelites after the flesh. But those are not counted by God as true Israelites. Those are not counted by God as true Israelites. Only those God foreknew. Only those God foreloved, those he foreordained to eternal life, are counted by God as Israelites. Go back to Romans 9. Paul began this passage saying, I say then. And that tells us something came before this, and he really started this back in Romans 9. And he had said that the majority in Israel did not believe. But Paul said in verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. God's word never returns to him void. Why then didn't they believe? Why didn't God make his word effectual and make everybody in Israel believe? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They were not all God's Israel, which were Israelites after the flesh. So when Paul says, I'm an Israelite, what makes him different from all those Israelites after the flesh? God foreknew Paul. God foreordained Paul. God chose Paul. That's what made him the difference. That's who God calls Israelites. There was the God's Israel in the midst of Israel after the flesh. And then look here, Paul said, I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. There was a lot of children of Abraham. There was a lot of children of the tribe of Benjamin. But look at Romans 9, verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You go back to the day when Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael. Both were sons of Abraham. But Ishmael was a son of the flesh. He was born of Abraham's works. Isaac was a son of promise. He was the son God chose. He was a son God promised would be born of a miraculous birth. That's so of all God's elect people in Christ. And that's who's counted as Abraham's children. It are those that God promised from the foundation of the world. Those that he ordained to be born by his miraculous grace. Those are the children of Abraham that God counts as children. That's why Paul said, I'm an Israelite. He was an Israelite indeed, foreknown of God. That's why he said, I'm a seed of Abraham. He was a true son of Abraham, a spiritual son of Abraham, a son of promise. There's also a lot of Gentiles who were sons of Abraham. Aren't you thankful for that? That counts me and you who know him and believe him. How can we be sons of Abraham? Because Scripture says there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. According to God's promise. That's who God counts. It doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile. It's who God foreordained. It's who God foreknew. It's who God chose in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's children. So God's Israel, brethren, are made up of Jew and Gentile who God chose. And he did this. He created his Israel before the world was made. Long before the world was made. Go back there to Romans 9 and look down at verse 22. He says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Who is that? That includes the majority of the natural sons of Abraham and the majority of the Gentiles. Fitted to destruction. Fit for destruction. But watch this. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. God prepared Israel and formed his spiritual Israel long before. How long before? In eternity. Before he ever made anything, this nation was formed. So, no, we're not teaching that God replaced this nation Israel with the church or with the spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel was prepared before. That God's elect, Jew and Gentile. Read on there in Romans 9. I just want to read this. Who are they? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see how clear Paul is with it? That's who God's Israel is. And then he gives us some scripture to back it up. He says in Hosea, I'll call them my people, which were not my people. He's talking about the Gentiles. They were always God's people. They were always beloved of God, but it didn't appear so to us. It didn't appear so to the children of Israel. They always were. He said, but I'm going to call them my people. I'm going to call her beloved, which was not beloved. And it'll come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people. There shall they be called the children of the living God. And he said, Isaiah cried concerning Israel. Now he's going to speak of his elect in Israel. He says, though the number of the children of Israel, those natural children of Israel, though the number be as the sand of the sea, there was millions of them. He said, a remnant, God's elect remnant, shall be saved. Just a remnant that God chose. That's Israel. For he'll finish the work, he'll cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now listen to Isaiah, verse 29. Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. Except he had an elect people right here in the midst of this vast number of Israelites. Except God had an elect remnant, an elect seed right here in the midst of us. We would have been as Sodom and we would have been like unto Gomorrah. God would have destroyed us a long time ago. Remember what God told Abraham? Lot was in Sodom. And Abraham kept asking him, Lord, if they're just 50, let me ask one, what if they're just 40? And he kept going down, what if there's just 10? God said, if there's just 10 righteous men in Sodom, I'll spare it for their sake. And Isaiah said, except God had left us an elect remnant right here in the midst of Israel, we would have long time ago been destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not everybody in Israel, without exception, just that elect seed. Just that elect remnant that God chose. Now let's go back here to our text and let's see some examples that Paul gives us. He gives us an example from the past to show us that God doesn't, He never casts away His people whom He foreknew. Verse 2. Want you not what the Scripture says of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they killed thy prophets, they dig down thine altars, I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself. I have chosen for myself. I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Those 7,000 that God reserved, those 7,000 God chose, that was God's Israel in the midst of natural Israel. That was God's true sons of Abraham in the midst of all the natural sons of Abraham. And it was because God had chosen them and reserved them. And that's the one thing that made the difference between them and those other ones who were killing the prophets and digging down the altars. There wasn't a bit of difference between those He reserved and those who were killing the prophets and digging down the altars. In themselves, there was no difference between them. There was no difference between me and you and any other sinner in this world. We all fell in Adam. We all became ruined in Adam. And if God had left us there, we just sung it, we'd have never chosen God if He hadn't chosen us. The difference is God chose His people. He reserved His people. That's who we're talking about. Then Paul brings it to his present day. He says there in verse 5, even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul said right now, right there in his day, he said right now, even so, just like it was in Elias' day, there's a remnant. There's a remnant. And it's according to the election of grace. God's chosen this remnant by His free and sovereign grace. And that's who God's people are. They're His remnant. They're His reserve. They're His foreknown, His foreordained, His elect. And brethren, there's a remnant in our day. We could say what Isaiah said right here today. If God hadn't left us a seed, this world right now would have long time ago been destroyed, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. When Adam sinned in the garden, if God didn't have an elect seed, He'd have destroyed it right then. Whenever Israel had turned into Sodom and Gomorrah, if God didn't have an elect people, He would have destroyed it a long time ago. And just like that right now in this world, just look at this world. The past 10 years, the world has just gone crazy. Faster, further than I've ever seen in such a short time. Why is God preserving this? Why is He long-suffering right now? Because He has a people. He has an elect people. He has a reserved people according to the election of grace. And therefore, He's preserving it for their sakes. For their sakes. Now, God's people. That's what I want you to do. God's people. God's Israel are those God foreknew, those He elected by His grace from among Jew and Gentile. And God never casts away His people that He foreknew. He never casts away His people He chose. He never does, ever. Now, why not? Why does God not cast away His people whom He foreknew? Here's the second thing. God never casts away His people because He chose us and He saves us by grace. That's why. Look here in verse 5. Romans 11, verse 5. He says, even so, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to see what that says. And I want you to think about this. It's impossible to be chosen by God by grace and by works. It's impossible, if it be by grace, it's impossible to be chosen by God by grace and partly by works. That's an impossibility. Either God the Father chose His people by grace without any cause in His people whatsoever, or He chose us because God foresaw some work His people would do. It has to be one or the other. It can't be partly one and partly the other. It's either one or the other. So which is it? What does Scripture say it is? According to the election of grace. Go back to Romans 9, verse 10. Let's look at this. It's just so plain. Romans 9, verse 10. Paul said, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They got the same father. They got the same mother. They're in the same womb. They hadn't done any good or evil. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Now here's the purpose of God according to election. This is why God elects, saves by electing grace. Right here. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. That's why. So it's not of works, it's of God that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What are we going to say to that? Is God unrighteous? God forbid. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, how much more definitive can a word be? So then, it is not of him that willeth. Salvation is not of our will. It's not of him that runneth. It's not about the works we do. What is it then? It's of God that showeth mercy. God chose his people by free grace. By free grace. By sovereign grace. Not based on anything in his people. Well, let me ask you this now. Back in Romans 11. He said, if it's grace, it's no more works. But if it's works, it's no more grace. Now you can't mix them. So it's impossible for God's people to be made righteous by a mixture of grace and works. Either the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to where we are, and He obeyed God as the head and representative of His people, and fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle, and went to the cross and thoroughly purged our sins and justified us and made us the righteousness of God in Him. Or you and I have to do something to make ourselves righteous. It can't be both. It can't be partly Christ and partly us. It's either got to be all grace or all works. Which one is it? Isaiah 63:3, our Lord Jesus said, I have trodden the winepress alone. And He said, and of the people, there was none with me. He didn't have any help. He did it all by himself. Scripture says, when Christ had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He did it all by himself. He did it all by himself. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It's all of God's grace by Christ alone. Now, what about our regeneration? What about our believing on the Lord? Either it's all of grace that God regenerates us and He gives us the gift of faith and He makes us willing to come and cast all our care on Christ, and it's all of grace, all of God, or you and I have to do it all by ourselves. It can't be a mixture. It's one or the other. Which is it? What does Scripture say? John 1:13 says, those that believed on God were born, not of blood. It didn't matter their mother, father was, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? Of God. All by himself, God gave us life. He regenerated us. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. This is how Jews are made. God's Jew, they're made inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart, not in the flesh, in the spirit. And the praise is not of men, but of God. He gets all the praise. He does all the work. It's all of Him. Scripture says it's not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. The Holy Spirit gave us life. And He shed this on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, because Christ had justified us, and it was a just demand of God's holy law that we be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's why He regenerated us. It's all of grace. All of grace. So, here's Paul's conclusion. He says this is the conclusion to the whole matter right here. Concerning natural Israel, who God left to their own depraved will. Romans 11:7 says, what then? Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Well, what were they seeking for? God left this part of Israel, these natural sons of Abraham, the natural children of Israel, He left them to themselves to teach you and me what every depraved sinner will do if God leaves us to ourselves. They were seeking after something. They didn't obtain it. What were they seeking after? Go back to Romans 9 and look at verse 32. Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for. Why not? Verse 32 says, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Why? They stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They stumbled at the Lord Jesus Christ. They stumbled at God saying, all these pictures and shadows I've been showing you in the law, all of these commandments I've given you were to shut your mouth and declare you guilty and make you flee to Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's where my righteousness is manifest. By His faithfulness. By Him fulfilling the law. He's the righteousness of God. And they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They couldn't let go of their works and just cast their care on Christ alone. And God shows us by that you and I, left to ourselves, that's exactly what we would do. A man left to himself will not believe on Christ alone. There's one thing a sinner can't do. One thing he can't do. That is, stop doing and rest in Christ. Can't do it. God has got to give us faith and make us willing in the day of His power to believe on Christ alone. Well, what about God's elect Israel? Romans 11:7 says, but the election hath obtained, and the rest were blinded. Those God foreknew, those He reserved, they obtained. What did they obtain? Look right there at Romans 9:30. They obtain righteousness the same way as you and us Gentiles, you, me, your Gentiles obtained it. What shall we say then? The Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. They didn't have the law. They didn't even have it. They couldn't have obtained a righteousness by the works of the law. They didn't even have the law. They weren't following after righteousness, and yet they have attained to righteousness. How can I fulfill the law if I don't even have the law? Same way Abraham did. Abraham lived 480 years before the law was given. How did he fulfill the law? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man believes unto righteousness. We believe unto righteousness. Christ Jesus is the righteousness of God, and He brings us by His power to submit, to submit to Him. And Christ is the end of the law. He's the end of everything Moses said. He's the end of everything God declared using national Israel and the Mosaic covenant and all those works of the law. Christ is the end of everything God was saying. And when you've been brought to Him, He's the end of the law. You have a perfect righteousness. But it's only to everyone that believeth. Believing is directly opposite of working. Believing is believing Christ did it all. He did all the work. He finished it. He did everything. I don't have to add anything to it. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting Him and Him alone. And not leaning to my works, not looking to my works at all. You know, these Gentiles here, I love how Peter said, you know, remember that time when those Pharisees came down and you had these Gentiles who believed on Christ. And the Pharisees came down and they said, well, it's okay that they believe on Him, but now you got to be circumcised and come back under the law or you can't be saved. They're perfect in Christ. They're justified in Christ. They're accepted of God. God says, I find no record of sin in them anywhere. And here comes these religious, blind Pharisees and said, oh, but there's something you got to do. And Peter said, no. He said, let me tell you fellas something. Here we are. We're Jews. We've been under this law and we couldn't bear up under this yoke. None of us could fulfill this law. None of us could ever do what God demanded. None of us could. Our fathers couldn't do it, Peter said. He said, now why are you tempting God to put a yoke on these Gentiles? They never were even under our law. Why are you putting this yoke on them? Peter said, I'll tell you what, fellas, we're going to be saved like they're saved. How's that? God said, I was found to them that sought me not. I made myself manifest to them that wasn't even seeking me. And I showed them my Son. And I made them fall head over heels in love with my Son. And I brought them to cast all their care into His hand. And they're saved. They didn't lift a finger. They didn't wiggle a toe. They didn't do anything under the Mosaic covenant. And they are perfectly righteous. God said, they fulfilled my law. Perfect. That's how we're saved. Don't ever try to come to God in the works of the law. Come to God trusting His Son. And you'll find out He's as well pleased with you as He is with His Son. You come trusting that way. Now I want to tell you, brethren, there's a remnant according to the election of grace right now. And there's one thing that makes them different. That's the grace of God. That's it. There's nothing about us. Nothing whatsoever. It's the grace of God. Christ redeemed them by His precious blood. He satisfied justice for them. And now justice is our friend. Justice demands that everyone Christ died for must be given faith. And must be saved. And I'll tell you what's going to be said. When it's all said and done and it's all over with, it's going to be said, the election hath obtained the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. All by God's grace alone. Amen.
Thank you, Clay.
Wasn't that so good? I'm afraid that when we become afraid and fear, oh, God's going to cast me off. That's so heinous. You know the only reason we fear that? We brought God down to our level. That's what I do. And we think God's like me. Aren't you glad God's not like us? Oh my, His mercy and grace. I'm overwhelmed. Oh, what a blessing. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, how we thank You for this clear declaration of Your gospel we've just heard. How we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we begin to thank You for Your mercy and Your grace to Your undeserving people, that You see us always and only in our Lord Jesus Christ, as perfect and righteous as He is, accepted in Your sight. Father, how we thank you. Father, I beg of thee that you give us the faith to believe the Savior that we've just heard. That you'd give us the faith to quit all of our works, to quit looking at them, to quit trusting in them, to lay them down, and look to and trust Christ and Christ alone. It's in His great name and for the glory of His name. Father, we do ask this blessing for ourselves, for our good, but Father, would you get glory to your name in saving your people here? It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and give thanks. Amen.
Let's stand and sing 597 in the old school hymnal. 597.
Now in thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed. While of this precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. While of this precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. Of the united powers of hell, my soul hath sore annoyed. And yet I live this truth to tell, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. And yet I live this truth to tell, cast down but not destroyed. In all the paths through which I pass, what mercies I've enjoyed. And this shall be my song at last, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. And this shall be my song at last, cast down but not destroyed. When I with God in heaven appear, there shall I Him adore. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast down no more. And I cast down no more. And I cast down no more. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast